Cobra, you turned yourself in this morning to the Putnam County Sheriff's Department, and you have now been released. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience?
Oh, it was horrific, to say the least. It was supposed to be an easy deal. A detective, Ken Taylor, called me yesterday and said he had some bad news for me, that there's a warrant for my arrest for false imprisonment, and he said it related to the Snodgrass case. This is the gentleman who's out on bond right now for capital sexual battery. And I asked him, what can I do? He said, you could go to any jail, turn yourself in, and we'll teletype the information. I said, well, would you rather me just come there? He goes, if you want to. So I prearranged with A1 bail bonds in Palatka, a lady that I'd been working for, a lady that had assisted me in getting out Nene and Amber Brooks out of jail, and it would be fine. So I drove from 3 o'clock this morning from Miami. I arrived here 10 minutes to 9, and I went into the bail bond office. Of course, Donna, who owns the bail bond, she's not there. So her assistant and me sat down and did all the paperwork, and then they called in another licensed bondsman to go drop the bond at the jail. So when that paper was ready, I left and went towards the jail, and the bondsman went there too, and she dropped the bond. I was in the jail for about 10 minutes, and I was ready to be walking out the door. Just as I got to the door, it slammed shut, and Donna was on the phone, and she said, pull that bond. And at that point, they had me go in the room and strip down and stuff and put on their clothes, and then they took me into cell 162 and locked me down with the rest of the folks out here. Some pretty bad guys in jail. Jail ain't a nice place. And my girlfriend started calling, why he out? And she said, y'all leave his rotten ass in there to rot. Leave his ass in there to rot, something to that effect. And she said, why? I said, well, he's a con artist, and you're a con artist. And this is my girlfriend, and nobody knows my girlfriend. And she's been kidnapped, abducted at gunpoint, and held hostage, and taken to banks to get money out. And then somebody was hired from jail to go kill her. And I caught that guy before he did kill her. And that's how me and my girlfriend met. And, of course, it was a year or two after all that we ended up meeting and talking back over things. I said, yeah, I caught that guy. And then, well, you saved my life. And then I provided her security systems and stuff, security inside the courtroom while she'd go to trial on this and everything. And but for somebody to accuse my girlfriend as being a shenanigan or, you know, being a con artist or something, she's been talking entirely too much to Kim Picazio. I see Kim Picazio's hand all in this, just like you can see God's hand in the cloud. I see her hand all in this.
You believe?
She was on the phone.
She
was on the phone with the bail bondsman this morning when I was there filling out the paperwork. And the bondsman that was sitting there, not Donna, the other bond lady, who's a nice lady, who's also in charge of the Blue Crab Festival, and said, we got to get you in there, get you out real quick so you can go ahead and set up on your Blue Crab. And I said, you're right. And Kim called, and she goes, well, he's going to jail? Well, I thought he didn't have a bond. I thought he had a no bond hold. You know, I heard her say that. And then all of a sudden she said, I bet it's going to end up being a no bond hold. What do you think? Sounded like that, you know. But she was kind of like keeping her questions professional-like. But she was forehand in this, that it's going to be a no bond hold, I think. You know, one of them kind of deals. No, he knew my bond was $5,004. She knew that, too. So whatever involvement she had with this bond lady, she called my girlfriend 3 days ago and said, Donna does not like Cobra, and neither does Peggy Cohn, the one he always speaks so highly about on the county sheriff's office. Both these women are my friends, Paula, and I'm telling you right now, they do not like Cobra. So you go on with what I said. That's bullshit. She's just talking shit. Well, I should have listened to her. I should have listened to her, you know, because I don't know. So that's what she's done now. Now I just found out that Marty knows Peggy Cohn. So we're going to be calling Peggy Cohn to find out if she's had any involvement with this, you know, or not. But this has been a very shocking experience, because all I was doing, America needs to know, all I was really doing was trying to find America's sweetheart, America's little child, Haley Cummins. That's all I was trying to do. And for that, I've lost my money. I've lost some of my friends, and they're attempting to cause me to lose my freedom. Is that what it takes to find America's little girl? Is that what it takes to find Haley? Then I guess, you know, God's in charge of all this, but it all gets shook out. But the bottom line is, the reason Kim is so upset with me is because her client, Crystal Sheffield, when I said nobody has clean hands, she thought that I was going to go ahead and let it out. But I wasn't going to let it out. I was trying to be nice to her over the last 70 days that I've been looking for Haley, that Crystal, the mother, needs to get into a drug rehab program. She needs to get into a parenting class. She needs to get her GED. She needs to be accountable, to be like other women in this world. There's women in this world, man, they've lost their husbands and kids have been killed and everything, and they struggle, and they continue, and you never see them. They keep on coming, keep on trying to support and give life to what life they brought into this world. And I don't see this in Crystal, not yet, because the drugs have a great effect on her. And all these seizures, she's been taking Lortabs and mixing them with Xanaxes. And anybody that knows Lortabs and Xanaxes will cause seizures. And I'm afraid that she's going to go down the road. She's already had one car wreck. She's already fell out a couple times. There's at least three or four times the police don't even know about. Nobody knows about. Press doesn't know about. It's going to continue to one day she don't wake up, or one day she kills somebody. I can't have that on my conscience. Kim, I told Kim, I can't have this on my conscience. That you're going to end up on some kind of damn homicide charge or something. I don't want to go down that road with you. You just shut up, and you don't say nothing to nobody. That's my client. You're going to cause me to lose the kid to damn foster care. I said, well, if there's a foster parent out there who will love this child, I can't go out in good conscience and bring back Haley. God bless if I find her alive and everything, which I'm praying. I can't walk in there and say, ma'am, I've got your daughter. I can't do that, not in clear conscience. I'd run like hell for the hills. They'd be looking for me for abduction for real.
Cobra.
I couldn't do that.
You were, so, just so my understanding is you were, you turned yourself in today on a, it was a felony warrant and it was for false imprisonment. Is that correct?
That's right.
And
sure.
Now, you know, I hear things in this business. This was a Snodgrass fella that you, you took in.
Let me tell you what the rules are. Mr. Snodgrass is out on a capital sexual battery bond, meaning he did something really, really nasty for capital. The capital means death. And somehow or another, his bond was $150,000, got reduced to about $78,000, and I'm just blinging off numbers there, but it's real close. And he had to wear an ankle bracelet. Well, I know enough about GPS tracking devices to know they're not always accurate. So I wanted to, when I got to town, I asked everybody, and Donna, coincidentally, is the one that told me, hey, there's a guy in town, his name is Snodgrass, and Snodgrass, and he's out on a capital sexual battery. I didn't bond him because, you know, this, that, and the other. Really? So who's got him? Chuck. I'll get you all the paperwork to tell you, you know, that Chuck's got him. So then I called up the insurance company, C.E. Parrish and Continental Heritage, and I called them up and I said, hey, you got him. What the hell are you doing bonding these kind of people out? I told him not to bond them people out. I said, well, listen, I got the, with your permission, I'll go by and get the file and I'll take a look at it. And if there's anything there, I'll make sure that I fix this for you. He said, well, you can't just put him back in jail because if you do that, we'll have to give these people's money back. I said, I'm not trying to have to give anybody their money back or do anything. I want to just look at the guy and see. So I met with the sheriff himself, Mr. Jeff Hardy. I met with his lead detective, John Merchant, and I met with his running buddy, Travis from FDLE. And all three of these men met me on the side of the road at a Bilo store and looked at the files that I had and looked at the names and the pictures and said, listen, we don't have anything on them, but if you got bond issues with them, that'd be a civil matter. And I said, well, I'm thinking about joking a few of these folks if they, you know, at least get them off the street so we can narrow down the hunt pool to see what's going on. He said, I don't have a problem with that. They all said they didn't have a problem with that. So for 9 days, I watched Mr. Snodgrass. I watched him sell his furniture. I watched him interfere with the Haley Bug Center. I seen the calls coming in from Kim calling the police and everything. This guy's over here harassing our folks and all, everything, on and on and on. So finally, I went to talk to Snodgrass. I called 911. Police showed up. Said, we can't assist you. It's a civil matter. I said, all right, but at least be standing back. He said, his friends tried me. Well, I went to the house to talk to Snodgrass, but it sounded to me like they were stitching a gun. I couldn't see, but they had the screens on the house such a way you couldn't see, but I heard shh, I heard gunrack. I called 911. 911 tape would verify this. That I said, I think they got a gun stitched up. So he's called 911. I called 911. Here comes 911 now right up in the yard. And I said, gentlemen, this man here that lives with Mr. Snodgrass, if he touches me, I want y'all to take care of him. I said, Snodgrass, come here a minute. Fuck you. I said, what? He said, fuck you. You don't work for the insurance company. They fired you. They done called me and told me you was coming, that I wasn't to talk to you. All right? And you just get the hell off my property. He started pointing. When he pointed one to him, I grabbed him. Boom. We went to the ground. I hooked him up. The cops are standing there with their arms folded. All this is videoed. at ArtHarris.com. Every bit of it. He's got everything on film, all the conversation. They're saying they didn't authorize me. But the biggest thing I want printed in the press today, they claim that they never authorized William Cobra Stobbs to mess around with Mr. Snodgrass. That's what they alleged to the police, and the police arrested me based on that statement given by the high-ups in the insurance company. My question back to C.E. Parrish and to Roger Katner, the two complainants that work for the insurance company, did you ever, at any time, ever authorize Samuel Lee Hightower, a.k.a. Shu, to do any pickups for you? And has the man ever done pickups for you? And what was the authorization there? If they say no, they lied. He's done over 2,000 arrests for that insurance company, and at the times that he was doing it, he's always been a convicted felon. Convicted felons cannot do this kind of work. That's why they're trying so hard to put me as a convicted felon. Then I won't be able to do it. But I've already arrested 8,000 people, 199 child molesters, two murderers, one terrorist. And the thing of it is they claim they never authorized me. Now, if you was to go on to Florida Corrections, Florida Department of Corrections, and look up Samuel Lee Hightower, you would see that this is a pretty bad guy. In fact, I think U.S. Marshals have him now because he was robbing folks and doing, you know, he went Cody. But I worked with this guy for over a year with their blessing, and they said he was a good pickup guy. And then I found out he was a convicted felon, and I had to get away from him. 4 or 5 years ago, this broke into the press, and I kept my mouth shut and my head down. I didn't try to put nobody in harm's way and get nobody in no trouble or nothing. So I probably should have spoke up then, but I didn't. But now it's time for me to speak up, because they're claiming they never authorized me. I'm saying, I've heard this story before. You never authorized Samuel Lee Hightower either, did you? And now, all of them, if the state was to do their job, they all need to lose their license. Everybody.
Cobra, what was the date of this incident, that you're being charged with now? How long ago was it?
March the 20th.
So we're looking at over 2 months ago now?
2 months and 2 days. 2 months, 2 days, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Is there any reason why you think it took so long for the authorities to make it?
Well, here's what happened. Everybody was contacted. What happened when I left the guy back off, I was told, let him loose, take him back home. That's all on audio, video. And I did that. And they said, hey, you know, with the paperwork glitch, we figured it out. This mix-up. We're telling Cobra, go ahead and take you home. That's what they said. And I did. And I said, listen, man, we ain't got no problems or nothing. And even Snodgrass wanted to hire me. I said, sure, man, whatever. You know, they say you did it, didn't, you know. And so I get done looking for this little girl, and maybe I can help you. You know, kind of keep it friendly. Well, we wasn't friends after I left, because he went to the sheriff's office and filled out a complaint form. And then they contacted all these people with the help of Chuck Spellbonds. Mr. Charles Ingram, a convicted sexual predator, okay, who's not supposed to be in the bail bond business, but does rule the roost over there. And with his input to the sheriff, who he's friendly with the sheriff, believe it or not, I don't keep friends with these kind of folks, and got all these people's statements, and they sent it off to the state attorney. State attorney, he kicked it back and said, this is a bondsman, this bond is, don't worry about it. And Kim went down there and said, I got you out of trouble with them and everything, and apparently they made a promise that if they ever was going to come look at me again, they would contact Kim. And at that time, Kim and I were friendly. I didn't know that Kim was hiding all these evils under her fucking wing. So then, all of a sudden, out of the blue, they come after me. After Kim last week said, you're going to jail. Oh, he's going to fucking jail. He's going to lose his license. He's not going to be able to afford you. He's not going to be able to feed you. He's not going to be able to feed his children. Okay? So tell him, get the fuck off this job and leave my fucking client alone.
Cobra, if I can just interject for a moment, are you saying that were you referring to Kim Picazio are you saying that Kim Picazio knew of this arrest in advance, or it at least appears that she did?
It appears that she did, and she appeared that she did, but she was appearing that she didn't, acting stupid, because she told my girlfriend last Friday, that I was going to jail and I was going to lose my license. Now, what the fuck would I be going to jail for? I didn't do nothing to go to jail for. And the only trouble, alleged trouble, was this Snodgrass thing. And that's a question of the insurance company lying to protect their insurance company, and I understand that. But the thing of it is later on, that truth shall come out too. But for her to call my girl and say, oh, he didn't give you any money? Well, Crystal gave him $800 cash today. We put $2,000 in his account. And I'm like, what the fuck are they trying to do? They're trying to blackmail me into getting off this case. And I said, now you done pissed me off. I said, oh, you can keep all my fucking money. I'll give you money back. I didn't know that was blood money. I'll get back to you. You know, I don't care. And, damn, so...
How much money does it cost you a day, Cobra, as you've been searching for Haley?
Well, see, when I'm searching for Haley, I can't pay my own bills. And I support five families. I support five children. I support my ex-wife. I support my girlfriend. I support my mama. And, of course, I got two adult kids that, you know, they need help, too. I pay one of them's insurance, and I take care of the other ones. You know, I love taking care of his sleeping quarters and everything. So I'm pretty tapped out. I need to make about $10,000 a month just to slide by paying the bills for everybody that I support. So I've been here 70 days. That's 10, that's 20. Then all of a sudden, being out of town, having to buy motel rooms, it costs roughly $300 to $350 a day just for me and one other person. And if all of a sudden I add to that, it could go as high as $500 to $750 a day. So when you add all that shit together, brother, I'm upside down now, a good 40,000, you know, something like that. I mean, the numbers are there. I mean, I ain't been able to pay, you know, take care of my own stuff. Friends have either borrowed me the money or, you know, you pay me back when you get a chance, when you get it or whatever. And that's why I seek help from other folks.
Well, Cobra?
One. Yeah.
Just for our listeners who are want to get caught up on the case, how did you initially become involved in the search for Haley Cummings? Were you asked by somebody?
Yeah, sure. That's the only reason I would. If some people say I stuck my nose in something I shouldn't have, I would never do that. I follow cases just like everybody goes home at night and follows cases. Of course, I do my own cases as people call and saying they've been done wrong with somebody, and now I'm there, oh, good, go find out who got done wrong. Or pick up bail bonds. That's how I do it. But in this case, Pastor Grun, Richard Grun, from the Orlando case, from the little missing girl now found dead, Kaylee Anthony, he's the father of Jesse Grun. Jesse Grun was really going to marry Casey and give this child a proper, you know, family life and everything like that. But Casey was, you know, pretty much the bar scene and many boyfriends and yada yada to where this could not work. So now they're trying to set him up, if you will, that maybe he murdered this little girl and moved the body and did all this stuff on the little Casey case. So when I met Richard Grun, he said, listen, I need a good investigator. I've got a couple of them here, this Dominic Casey and a couple other ones that are doing some really evil stuff. And if you involve yourself with me, they will attack you. Well, sure as shit, Dominic Casey's been after me, getting these police hot up here in Putnam County, saying that I obstruct justice, and I've been tampering with evidence, and I've found bloody sheets and bloody gloves, and I haven't turned them in, and stuff like that. And it's blatant lies. But see, he coming with some clout from Orlando, and I understand the FBI down there and other folks is wise to his shit. However, they're not wise to what's coming up here in Putnam County, and now I'm getting that my bite of that shit sandwich. But no, I didn't involve myself in this to get myself in any trouble. I did it as a clergyman. Pastor Grun asked me, said, you know, I know you're kind of between jobs right at the moment. I don't have nothing breaking on this one. Would you do me a favor? And I did him a favor. Now, I would suggest anybody wanting to know the rest of the story on that would contact Richard Grun. And he's a man of God, and he ain't gonna tell no lies from me, you, or nobody. You know, he'll tell you the way it was. And so I have a very serious mantle to make sure I investigate properly, check out things properly, and I never once ever worked for Crystal. I tried to get her help. She told me a story, a blatant lie, and then I'd already filed Kim's at that time. When I found out it was a lie, I went back to Kim, but Kim was blinded by the light. That song, blinded by the light. She got blinded by the camera lights and wanted to be on TV. And she started right off the rip, before she even did a real sit-down with her client, Kristen Sheffield, and started blasting Ronald. Well, listen, Ronald's done a lot of bad shit, but so has everyone else. Nobody has clean hands. Nobody.
Indeed.
So that's bottom line. That's the update for this week. I mean, shit, they could kill me in prison, man. Fuck. It's like prison, jail, but Jesus.
Well... I appreciate you taking your time to talk with me, Cobra, and I'll let my listeners know that you're going to be back, and you're going to be back soon, and we'll have another update.
Absolutely. I didn't go nowhere. They tried to run me out of town this morning, but I'm going to be in the Bluecraft Festival all weekend through Monday, and then Tuesday I'm going to go back home, meet with a couple of my trusted people to find out how do we proceed here, that's all. And the hunt for Haley is now going to intensify, especially for people that had their dirty hands in this business. Because if you know that I'm hunting for a little missing child, you know that's my modus operandi, that's all I'm doing, and you try to bring this evil on me, what is your modus operandi? What are you really up to? Who are you trying to protect, and what are you trying to do?
And those are some questions that we're going to try to get answered as time goes by.
Yes, sir. And I look forward to try to answer those questions.
Thank you very much, Cobra. Thanks for your time.
And it's always nice talking with you, sir. Good day.